This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
The truth is out there, and here, who knows, but either way, we are opening up the Bloom Files here on Post Show Recaps, an X-Files First Watch / Rewatch podcast. Hello, everybody. Mike Bloom here, breaking our way into Season 8 of the X-Files with two more standard fare episodes compared to the two-part premiere. I'm here with someone who picked two episodes that certainly made me feel a certain way as a parent this week. Angela Bloom. Angela, how are you?
Well, yes. Here's the thing, though. I'm not sure if I could pick any episode in Season 8 that didn't involve children in some way.
Really?
Well, a lot of Season 8 is Scully's pregnant and she's going to have a baby. Is that baby going to be a real baby, a not baby, an alien
That's
baby?
That's true.
And then also, we were introduced to John Doggett and John Doggett's deceased son, Luke.
We weren't really introduced, more so.
Yeah, and so this is like a big plot point that happens throughout Season 8 as well, is what's his story, what happened to
Morning
his son,
glory.
And why is, you know, was like, how is he solving it? So, I mean, I'm not sure that I could have picked anything else. I think that it was necessary and a bummer.
A necessary bummer, I think, is a good way to describe not only life in 2021, but Season 8 of The X-Files as well. We're starting to get a little bit more into their dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because we're picking episodes 5 and 13. So obviously this isn't like right after the two-part premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become very clear that it's, I wouldn't say oil and water.
No, it's the issue here is that while Scully was put on The X-Files to debunk it, Mulder was never putting up walls to the extent that he wasn't allowing her in. You know, he wanted her to believe, and he wanted her to be part of it.
Whereas he specifically had personal stories linked to the extraterrestrial that he would, like, open up about. And Scully does as well.
Yeah, but, like, he wasn't, like, a wall. Like, he wasn't, you know, I mean, to an extent, of course, he was, like, not trusting of her, right? But within episode one, he trusts her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas with Scully and Doggett, it's like, she's, like, mad that Mulder's gone, so she's, like,
taking it out on him,
and like he does everything in his possible to do to make her feel more like secure, but I don't know, she keeps smacking him in the face. Anyway, we're talking about Invocation first, which is, like you said, a bit of a bummer when it comes to kid stuff.
So I realized when we were watching this cold open, you know, I talked about this all the way back in our first podcast, that there was one Sunday night or Friday night, I don't remember, where, you know, I was on vacation. My family had sort of like gone out for the night, and we were just like sort of at home watching TV. And I remember an episode of The X-Files came on. It was probably after The Simpsons or something.
Classic you.
And there was a cold open about a kid at a carnival getting kidnapped. And it turned me off to the show until the onus of this podcast. And I realized in watching the opening to this episode, it was indeed Invocation that turned me away from the X-Files all those years ago.
Which is a bummer, because this is a season 8 episode, so it's not a traditional, necessarily X-Files-y vibe.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, this is more SVU than it is X-Files.
Truly. And it's also not the best version of, you know, like a murder mystery X-Files episode. You know, like, there have been better ones, and better ones involving weird demon children, too. So, you know, I don't know that, you know, we were set up well for success there with your viewing.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to like briefly outline what it is, because it is fairly rote of a scene, I would say, which is sad to say, considering we are dealing with a child getting kidnapped and eventually murdered, but rote it is. We're in Dexter, Oklahoma.
Yep. And it's every like Dare commercial or, you know,
or like Stranger Danger
Stranger
commercial.
Stranger Danger. Basically, this kid is on a swing set and his mom is nearby talking to a friend, and she's sort of ignoring him because he's just playing on the swing, and he keeps saying, "Mom, you're not watching, you're not watching."
She also be noted, though, she is pregnant.
She is extremely pregnant.
Hysterically, but no, that's the opposite.
That's when you're not pregnant.
They really should have picked a different adjective.
Yeah, well, it's actually a very bad reason to call it hysterical pregnancy, because they would just assume it was because a woman was, like, hysterical. But anyway, she turns around and Billy's not there anymore.
Right. And we should also mention there's a seedy-looking individual that's
teen
sort of skulking around.
A seedy teen.
Yeah.
A grungy teen.
Grungy teen. Yes.
Who we'll be introduced to later.
Yeah. So, and this also happens, I mean, it is very 90s then, speaking from a grunge perspective, because this is supposed to be a flashback to 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And so I, you know, but you're right. It's pretty rote. It's pretty typical, like, kid goes missing 10 years later.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, that's where it gets a little spooky. Yeah,
something a little unexpected happens. So now the kid that was in Billy's mom's belly, Josh, is now...
Little Joshy.
He's a brunette to contrast his other son, his brother's blondness.
Who's to say he wasn't blonde when he was little?
But Billy's mom goes to pick Josh up, and he says, "They're waiting for you." And we see, like, a stark conclave of
adults,
school officials that are sternly standing there, and they are covering up this big reveal that back on this, I think it's a swing set, obviously, not the swing set.
Yeah.
This is at school.
He's just on the swings. Billy, little boy, mysteriously reappeared and not aged at all. And she's immediately like runs to him, is sobbing, is crying, and he has like blank stare, which is the only face he makes this episode.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talk a lot about the weight that child actors sometimes have to bear on the show. This kid is a featherweight by comparison, because all he has to do is just stand there and look creepy.
He doesn't talk at all except for that minute in the beginning when he says, "Mom, you're not watching."
Yeah, you could write his lines on his index finger.
Yeah, and this, I will say, I mean, of the children out there, and this is no, like, knock on him as a child actor, but I do think that there is a vibe they were going for here, like a very Damien and the Omen and, like, creepy kid vibe. And this kid just does not give it to me. He just gives me bored.
That's true, actually. This is more listless. I think
listless. Like, there's vacant.
I think the places they put him in are more scary than, like,
that's
he's
true.
Not, you
that's
know,
true.
Macaulay Culkin and The Good Son, as an example.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so they're...
So Scully and Doggett are called in to
basically
not necessarily investigate, like, oh, this kid came back, but more so who took Billy.
Yeah, and I think that that's, like, something that Doggett has a personal interest in, we'll find out about, but also something he's dealt with before. He'll mention that he's been on child, like, murder cases, basically, in the past. Because Scully even asks him, like, "Hey, have you dealt with this kind of stuff before? Because you just spoke to Billy in a real weird way."
Like, yeah, so that's what happens. Like, the very first thing that happens is Doggett goes into this room
and
with
Billy.
And
he, like, interviews this mute kid, and he basically uses his backpack as a bribe. Like, "I'll give this to you if you tell me what happened." Like,
it seems
not
like
cool.
Fine. Like, I was actually pretty complimentary. He was, like, on Billy's level, and I was just trying to reason him of, like, we just want to find out who did this. But then he's attempting to extort him
with
almost
a backpack.
And he rightfully gets pulled out of there.
And Scully's like, "Do you have any experience in child abduction cases? Because it seems like you don't."
Right. And so the other thing is that again, like you said, you know, they from Doggett's perspective, they were not brought in to investigate anything else around Billy's reappearance other than who took him.
Right.
Whereas Scully, because she has 8 years of the X-Files under her belt, really
she's
comes
like
in with
aliens.
The framing of why did he come back, and also why has he not aged a day since he disappeared?
Equals aliens.
Yeah, or at least that's her theory at the time, which is interesting. Yeah, this ends up being a little bit of a ghost story and, instead of an alien story.
Yeah, I do think that this is like a bit of a, I don't want to say a bummer about season 8, but it's something that like up until season 8, Scully is always likely to go to the other, any other possible explanation other than aliens.
Frustratingly so sometimes.
Yeah, and even if it's a paranormal explanation or an occult explanation or something that's a little bit more grounded to this Earth, she'll usually do that first. But in this case, and I think this is just like a writing thing, they're like, oh, Scully needs to be the one that talks about aliens now, or it's not the X-Files. So, you know, I think that she jumps to that conclusion fairly quickly, which I don't think she would have done if it were a Mulder Scully season.
But Billy is continuing to make things odd. You know, they finally bring him home after the questioning, and Sparky the dog's having nothing of it.
Yeah, so the dog is outside and immediately starts, like, wanting to attack this boy. And she's like, it's okay. The mom's like, it's okay. He just doesn't remember you.
I mean, the thing is also considering our dog, like, I don't think we would consider anything weird if she barked
no,
at this
she
kid.
Barks at, like people she knows. Like, she barks at a leaf. It's true. And then the next day, that leaf is her best friend.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
a fickle beast.
Very hot and cold with her.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know how that... But I do think this is a pretty common thing in the X-Files where a dog senses something
the
before...
The animals are always the first to know. Weather patterns and the supernatural.
Yeah, exactly. So I do think they use that a lot. We even watched that episode where the dog... like the whatever the readings of that experiment that was going on underground, like murdered them or whatever. But anyway, Billy goes home, and the dad and the brother Josh are like, no, hard no on this Billy guy.
Well, specifically the dad, like the brother is showing, you know, I would say maybe I give more excuse to
I
him.
I think he's just scared
because of his youth. Well, he also has a big reason to get scared that we're going to get into.
Yeah, but he's nervous too. He's like, I don't know what's happening, and it's probably hard for him to process it. But the dad is also like, I don't quite understand how the dad came to this conclusion so quickly, but his whole thing is he's uneasy about it, and I think mostly because he's worried about what's happening to Josh.
So it's interesting, you know, this isn't explicit, and I'm sure it's not true, but I kind of wish it was the case that this was someone who came into the picture after Billy disappeared.
Maybe.
Because then that would make more sense than this dude being cold AF to his own son.
Yeah, like he doesn't know, there's no possible way that he could think that there's something wrong with this Billy kid until like a few days. You know, like, after a while, like, yes, you should notice that he's acting weird.
It would make more sense. And I think it would also pair really nicely to the whole like Ronald Purcell storyline, which we'll get into as well, of like, you know, sort of aloof and or callous, like, step-parents, almost. Mm-hmm. And I just, it doesn't make sense to me. Maybe this is me speaking from my perspective as, I like to say, hopefully, loving father that, like...
Yeah, but you have to imagine, like, he also is a very loving father to Josh, and now there's this... his son has reappeared after 10 years looking identical. Like, that's weird.
It's just interesting how much he contrasts his wife.
Yes, of course. Really, well, Lisa is supposed to be that, like... mother's love for her son is never like can never waver, and it's like, yeah, that's true unless he disappears for 10 years and comes back.
And also
the same age.
I guess the father's love can F off, apparently.
Exactly.
According to this episode.
Exactly.
But yeah, there's, you know,
can only love one kid at a time.
Yeah. So let's talk about Ronald Purcell or Purnell or whatever the hell his name is, the ratty looking grungy kid.
It's Purnell.
Almost like the hand sanitizer.
Exactly.
Because basically, we're going to find out more about, like, his life, but this is when Doggett brings up who this guy was.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of a seedy past.
Yeah, local delinquent, you know, been to prison.
He was questioned at the time of the incident, which is why Doggett opens him back up. But Doggett found out all of this because he opened up sealed court records.
Right, because he was a juvenile delinquent at the time. So he was... he thinks that he was involved in this boy's disappearance because this kid got into trouble after the fact and was sent to like juvenile detention or whatever.
But Scully points out,
you can't do that.
Dude, you're breaking the law to do this. And it's interesting because, you know, Fox Mulder often shirked FBI accord, but I feel like Doggett doing this is very
He
different.
Does it very quickly, too. You know, yeah. I think that, like, with the Scully-Mulder relationship, she took a long time to, like, really jump on board with, like, doing some super shady stuff, whereas, like, Doggett immediately does it, and he doesn't do it at the hand of Scully,
yeah.
whereas Scully always did it with Mulder being like, this is what we're doing.
It's also interesting because I think up to this point, again, I've only seen two episodes of the guy, but it seems like, to me at least, Doggett was sort of personified as
like
this...
Like a straight and narrow kind of dude.
Yeah, this by-the-book kind of guy, and in this case, he has shredded the book.
Well, and we find out that he is... I mean, we don't find it out now, but like he is specifically interested in all of this because it is a child abduction case.
Right.
So I do think that a lot of his by the bookness goes out the window whenever it reminds him of his son.
Right. Which is an interesting character quirk, right?
Like, yes.
It's something to really.
That's why I wanted to watch this mostly is because of the Doggett stuff. It doesn't really give you a ton on it, but.
Yeah. So back at Casa de Billy, he wakes up, he walks, you know, around, overhears his parents arguing, and then. He grabs what looks to me like some sort of, I don't know, medieval pirate-based dagger.
It's like a machete.
Where was that?
Well, and so I think further in the episode, they say the dad doesn't know where that knife came from.
So, I mean, it's obvious that this boy is some sort of, like, spirit. Did he,
materialize it, I guess? Yeah.
Like, he's able to create his own weaponry, I suppose?
I guess
so. He's just a big fan of, like, Peter Pan?
Well, and so, I don't necessarily know what's going on here because...
He is corporeal.
He's also there to lead them to his murderer, I guess.
But like,
so why is he doing that to stuff to Josh?
And also, let me just say, didn't do shit to do so.
Yeah. So like, I never really understood sort of what's going on. Anyway, they find a bloody knife in his brother's bed the next morning.
Right, like sticking right next to him, almost as if a threat. Right. Next.
And they basically look at the forensic analysis, and they find that the blood is Billy's, although there's no injuries on him, and the knife. Is a symbol that Billy drew while he was being the symbol that Billy drew while he was being interrogated by Doggett, like right in the beginning.
Yeah, it looks like a weird sort of 5-pointed asterisk that's just like scraggly done.
Like a little like star thing.
Yeah, but Scully is understandably freaked out. She wants Billy institutionalized and studied, but Doggett's like, no, he's trying to send a message. He's trying to lead us somewhere.
Because there is this psychic who was on the case 10 years earlier, and she also drew this symbol.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that there's like Doggett's kind of being led down that path because he's opened all these case files that he shouldn't have opened. So he sees that, whereas Scully's just like, this is wild. But I guess what's supposed to be happening here is that like, Billy, and the knife in Josh's bed is supposed to represent, like, what happened to Billy, because the blood on the knife is Billy's. And the knife clearly... Oh, the knife is the guy, the stepdad's
right.
knife.
Well, this guy is obviously shady for many reasons. One of them is that he's apparently using, like, hundreds-year-old weaponry to kill these children.
Yeah, not good. Anyway.
I don't know, I'm just fixated on that knife. But
Cal Jeppy.
Yeah, Billy's going to show off his powers one more time, though, right? Because they, like, the dad buckles him into the car,
yeah.
And then he and the mom get into an argument, and then Billy disappears from the car, and then he appears right behind Josh. Spooky
shit.
Which is creepy,
yeah, for sure.
All right, let's meet Cal Jessup.
Jeppy.
But whatever the hell these people
I know it's Cal Jeppy because that's what the horse trailer says at the end.
Yeah.
So basically this guy, we're just going to jump straight into like who he is. He is, what's his name? Ronald?
Ronald
Purnell's stepdad.
That's what we assume.
Basically.
Right?
Exactly. And so he shows up at their trailer park and he's harassing him and he's bullying him and Ronald immediately goes into the woods and digs up a skull.
Yep.
And it's just confusing because you're like, oh shit, he did it. Like Ronald mm-hmm. did it because he's like, I don't know, has issues because of this guy. But later we're going to see Cal Jeppy blackmailing Ronald, over, you know, something related to Billy.
Yeah, basically saying like, oh, hey, if you do any,
show them where that skull is buried.
Exactly. Yeah. To imply that, oh, Billy did it or Ronald did it. And like, he knows.
Yeah,
so he'll
exactly.
hold it over his head.
But we're going to find out later that that's not the case. It's, creepy Cal Jeppy that's to blame here. So yeah. My assumption here is like that this guy has a pony that he brings to fairs, which is what was happening in the beginning mm-hmm. of the episode, and then he kidnaps children at like carnivals because he has a pony and takes them home and murders them.
Yep. And he's shady AF. He's got that like bald mm-hmm. hair on both sides, mustache look that you
yeah, beer belly,
from,
not
yeah,
great.
Exactly, like trailer trash, as it were. Let's go to the psychic here. Sharon Pearl.
What a name.
What a pearl.
I love her.
Basically, you know, Doggett is, despite sort of relying on her as character testimony, is still, you know, poking on her, right? She's like, oh, is this going to happen? And he goes, oh, shouldn't you be telling us that?
Yeah, but she touches Billy, and Pearl basically is like, I feel powerful forces yeah, coming goes, through him. Yeah, she has like a seizure, basically.
She begins to convulse, and then the symbol that, again, that five-pointed symbol begins to, like, bulge out on her
yeah,
forehead.
Yeah, like as if it were, like, a scar.
And
like
the shape of a star on her forehead.
That's the shape of an L on her forehead.
I know. Well, that's the point.
This is a good one. not great, but they're... the issue here is, I think Scully's like, you can't deny you just saw that, and... Doggett goes like, well, it's a good trick. And like, he's like, does not believe anything that this lady has to say.
But Scully has a trump card mm-hmm. here. She has a recording yes. of Sharon's convulsing, and she plays it backwards, and it is audio of someone singing All the Pretty Horses.
Pretty Little Ponies.
Pretty Little Ponies.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place with naming things in this episode.
I really like that song, so I was unfortunate that it was used in this.
And that's, you know, creepy stuff 101,
right? I mean, it is the
right?
Pretty Little Horses,
like,
but...
I finally got one right.
You did get it right.
Take like a childhood song and like slow it down and make it creepy and put
I
it around murder.
I specifically like the Kenny Loggins version.
Well, luckily he has no involvement yeah. here. So, basically, they're sort of also, like, camped outside of
right, they're
Billy's
doing,
house.
Yeah, and this is where she plays the video. So, they're, like, doing kind of a stakeout because they're worried that somebody's going to come after Billy.
Well, and speaking of that, here comes old yeah. Ronald Purnell pulling up.
Yeah, so he comes up and he sees, and, like, immediately Billy, like, appears in his car. And it, like, totally freaks him out. And then Doggett comes up to the car and sees Billy.
Yeah. And it's like, whoop,
but
what?
Purnell like drives away, which is wild.
Because then the implication is, oh, they kidnapped him again.
Yeah, like he should have just been like, this kid just appeared in my car. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, this kid is.
But super, I guess he's scared.
He's super squirrely, understandably so.
Yeah, and we'll find out a lot more about what's happened to him, which is like super tragic as well. But he's arrested because they just arrest him. He
right,
was outside his house and he was being weird.
Yeah, well,
just,
but like, also,
fine.
Though, now Doggett, like, he has sort of become the Mulder-esque role. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I swear I saw him in there! You
yeah.
know, because he disappeared again when they pulled him back over. So,
yeah,
like,
so he's, like, totally out of his element here.
All right, let's talk about Josh getting kidnapped here.
Yeah, this is, like, totally bonkers to me. So
this kid is an idiot.
Yeah, like, I mean, okay. I think that the problem here is not necessarily that Josh is an idiot, but that Josh's parents have not done a very good job about telling him what you should be doing while you're alone in the car, which is nothing.
Yeah, so basically Josh and his dad pull up to a gas station.
And yeah, his dad's gonna go like pay for the gas or go yeah. inside or whatever, and Josh is like left in the car. Whenever you were a kid and you were left in the car, what did your parents tell you?
Stay in the car.
Keep the doors locked.
Yeah.
Don't leave the car. And like, Josh sees a horse trailer and a pony, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna go look at the pony. He's like, Dad, can I go see the pony? And Dad doesn't answer. He just goes anyway.
This kid is also 10 years old, but does not seem like prime pony era for me.
No, and like, we, like, there's a 10-year-old boy that our nanny has, and like, Asher interacts with him on a daily basis, and like, he would never do this. Like, I'm
yeah.
just thinking about like this kid that we know who was 10.
Now I'm laughing thinking about him getting to be like, hey pony.
Yeah, like he's like a full-grown adult, basically, this 10-year-old kid we know. Like, he, like, I mean, that's him being very mature, but like, I don't think that he would do that. Like, it's just not...
Get out of the car and be like, oh, I see that pony over there. Let me go investigate.
It's almost preteen at that point. Like, you really shouldn't be making kid-like decisions.
He
anyway.
He also has a very stupid line where he's like, hey, pony, that pony?
I mean, there is a pony in there.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it pony.
Anyway, we also pan out and we see the symbol on the back of the trailer.
Well, not before Josh reaches in there and his arm gets pulled in like the beginning of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, so is Carl Jessup in there?
Like hiding in there?
But yeah, I guess so, yeah.
That's a bad way to get a kid, is just like holding his arms in there. Because, like, how are you going to get him?
Well, I think they probably sedates them at that point.
Yeah, maybe. Horse tranquilizer.
Yeah, anyway, we're going to go back to the station, and Doggett is going to be basically interrogating Ronald Purnell, and he admits to taking Billy.
Yes.
But that
He took care of him.
Because he basically says, I was forced to take him, and that he took care of him and that he sang to him.
Yeah.
And that he, like, didn't know what was going to happen to him really sad stuff.
And we get what I think is very well done, but like you said, very well done in that it does elicit these very sad feelings of, like, seeing Billy's kidnapping, right? Where it seems like he was hidden in, like, a secret hidden storage underneath
a compartment under the floor of the horse trailer, which is
Billy
really sad.
Would sing all the Pretty Little Horses to him, which is where which is what the audio came from. But, like, essentially he was sort of the good cop, I guess, to Cal's
whatever he could. And I think that it's just unfortunate that he didn't realize that he could, like, save this kid, you know? Yeah.
So basically, because he rats him out, the police then swarm Cal's place. We should note here that there were several sort of instances of that five-pointed symbol appearing.
Yes.
One happens here, right, where you, like, see an overhead view of that carousel.
That carousel. It's not a carousel. It's a clothes hanging
thing.
It's where you, like, it has, like, 5 points to it. But yeah, you see that at their home, and they find Josh in the compartment under the floor of the horse trailer.
And as they do it, Scully very calmly tells Doggett, like, oh yeah.
Okay, you didn't like this.
The perp's getting away.
You should probably go chase him.
it's just odd, because I think I'd imagine more...
getting away!
Exactly, like, more intention behind it, but she's more like, Agent Doggett, you might want to go take care of that right now.
And he chases him into the woods, and they catch him, and then right where they catch him, they discover the skull and the body.
Right, because basically, Doggett asks him, like, you know, where's the other kid? Mm-hmm. And Cal's like, there is no other kid.
Yeah, and right you in that see moment, Billy in the woods, and then Doggett runs over there, and it's not, like, Billy's not there, but his dead corpses.
Yep. And so Doggett, you know, it's a weird sort of mixed wrap-up for the group, because Doggett is not content with the fact there really was no closure.
Yeah, standard. Scully's like, there are going to be times when we don't solve it, but that, you know, the body is explanation enough. And the important thing is that, like, Josh was saved.
That's the thing. She says, well, the closure actually comes from the fact that you stopped a murderer.
You succeeded.
you may not have, like, men who murders children.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the real life implications of this are huge. You may not know exactly why this boy arrived. You may not really understand it, but you succeeded, basically, is what she says.
But from Doggett's perspective, he did not. It was a pass fail, and he failed. And the episode closes out on him staring at Billy's father, who, well, maybe a bit callous about the whole Billy return thing.
Well, they're sad. I mean, they just found the body of their deceased son.
So on this note, obviously, like you said, like, it really does introduce the implication. We didn't mention this before, but, like, there is a flat-out sequence where he sits in his car and takes out a wallet-sized photo of his kid.
Yeah.
Is this something that it's going to explicitly be focused on in another episode, or was this more
Yeah,
so just...
there's a few episodes that talk about it. I mean, it's where we're first introduced to the idea of it, but yes, I mean, I don't know if we'll watch those, so I'll tell you right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, listen, considering what I'm into, I would be happy to see fewer
basically
episodes involving
his,
children
his son is dead, and a lot of what he goes through in his career is about trying to solve that murder. And what has happened to him, and has never been super successful in doing so.
Would you say it's been dogging him?
No, but
okay.
No.
Well, at least we have closure on this episode, even if Doggett doesn't. Mm-hmm. So let us take a quick break before we dive back into some more sadness in a very different variety as we talk about episode 13, Per Manum.
save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, Angela, what's in a name? I guess I should say, what is permanum?
What is in a mame? A mame?
Mame?
What is
mame is a name.
What is in a name?
Did you ever see Mame?
The musical?
Yeah.
No. It means by hand in
Latin.
Oh,
interesting. Ew. I mean, I guess these alien babies are being created by hand, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, or delivered by hand. I don't really, you know,
yeah, so this
necessarily
one
get
focuses
it.
Focuses around Scully's pregnancy, and also, I would say this is a new shade of the whole human-alien hybrid saga. Spencer pointed this out. Prior, there had been, like, human-looking, you know, people that
yes.
had, like, alien blood in it.
Yes.
Now we have people just flat-out giving birth to aliens.
Yeah, and it's confusing because it's never actually explained, like, in this episode and perhaps in further episodes, like, what's actually happening here. There's this arc throughout season 8. Is Scully going to give birth to an alien baby? Like, that's, like, they're going to continuously go down this path, and it's super annoying because, it's just, like, it is. But I do think that, you know, it's important in this episode specifically because it leads to questions about how she became pregnant being answered a little bit more, but then not at all.
Yeah, I just find it interesting because I feel like when we see, for instance, in this cold open, someone give birth and it is a
true alien creature,
like that feels like yeah. something people would make fun of in a parody of the X-Files, but like they're actually including it here. I found it interesting.
It's true. We also have we have a lot going on in this episode. Yeah.
So let's get into it. So we open in the delivery room where there's this lady. She's real sweaty because she's in labor. She's there with her husband,
yeah.
Duffy.
The name Duffy.
I love me some Duffy. And this guy is just...
He goes through a whole one of situation.
A kind.
Yeah.
This guy is... Like, he feels like... He's going to have a lot of lines later where he feels like he should be coming in, like, smoking a cigar almost. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, my wife gave birth to an alien.
Yeah, exactly. And he's, like, very intense. And so, anyway, this woman gives birth to an alien. And basically, we find out later she dies.
Yeah.
And he... he's like screaming the whole time. Everyone's screaming.
Right, because basically, so the doctors come in and say, oh no, the baby's flatlining, so we have to do an emergency C-section. And Duffy's like, oh, well, I guess I better scrub out. And then they lock the door and are like, all right, let's do this. And it turns out that it's a weird little, like, bleating like a goat.
Yeah, like,
That's what the subtitles say.
This is bleeding, yeah.
alien baby.
Yeah, so... We'll find out a little bit sort of what's going on, but it does seem that throughout this episode, literally every OBGYN gynecologist is involved in the production of alien babies.
This is like Dan Brown levels of conspiracy.
Yeah.
It is absolutely wild to me that literally, like you said, the lesson of this episode is that apparently every OBGYN in the greater, like, Richmond Triangle area, the tri-state area, is involved in this big conspiracy about giving birth to aliens.
Yeah, and so anyway, when they're meeting with, or when he's meeting with the agents, Scully's basically playing it, like, super cool, whereas Doggett's like, hey, like, I feel like he's coming to her with, like as if he's a cat with, like, a dead mouse, like, bringing it to his owner. Like, hey, I feel like got this really, like, interesting...
Yeah, got this case.
This case that you're going to be super into because it has to do with alien abductors.
And it should be interesting, it should be mentioned here that Duffy... This is not the first time he has contacted the X-Files.
So he's been contacting Mulder, writing letters, and we'll find out later a lot of those letters are extremely threatening.
Right. Now, I think they were also, I believe MUFON, the name is dropped. I think they're part of the Ohio chapter of MUFON because Mrs. Duffy was a multiple abductee.
Which is why Doggett says, you know, like, hey, this case looks super similar to what happened to you. He doesn't know she's pregnant, but, like, he is like, hey, you were abducted. Like, she was abducted, tested. You were abducted, tested. We also should mention here that Duffy basically tells them to go to this place called Zeus Genetics in Maryland, and he shows them this ultrasound that seems to validate what he's saying. You know, it's not like ultrasounds are weird this way until the baby is like pretty formed.
It looks like an alien.
Yeah. And also, like, unless you know what you're looking at, most of the time, we were talking about this, most of the time the baby is not in like a perfect position for an ultrasound like that. Like,
Asher was very camera shy.
Like, every time I had to go get a scan done, because you get an anatomy one scan and then you get an anatomy two scan. But like, when I got the first one done, I had to do it twice because he wouldn't move. They kept giving me sugar and they were like, we need this kid to flip over.
They kept kissing you. Give me some sugar.
No, but like, they need to take pictures of specific parts of him, and he was like, he was moving, but he was like, no, I don't feel like rolling over at this point, mom. So yeah, I don't think it's like out of the realm of possibility that you would like look at that ultrasound and be like, I don't know what you're talking about. So, but what sparks Scully is that she recently had an ultrasound, so she's like, this looks really similar to mine. So we'll get into that. But
Duffy is checking all my boxes here. He's saying, like, God, everyone's in cahoots.
He does say cahoots.
Specifically uses the term cahoots.
Made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, Duffy's is one of a kind, truly. But yeah, I mean, like you said, Doggett's like, this sounds a lot like your story, except for the thing about being pregnant, of course.
Yeah, they don't say that.
And she's like, yeah, sure. So it's basically the entire, like, onus of the interpersonal drama between our two leads here.
It's just she doesn't want to tell him.
Yeah.
Which is honestly fair. She's only 14 weeks pregnant. Like, she doesn't know what happened, because we're going to find out in this flashback, which is coming up, where we have a Fox Mulder appearance, that her abduction rendered her infertile, which we knew, but it's the first time that he tells Scully that he found her ova.
Yeah, because as we remember, he invaded that, I think this was Michael Christgau,
facility.
Like, tipped him out. He went into that facility and he saw that all of her ova were harvested.
Yeah, and he takes them and he found out that they were not viable. And like, so we're first, I think, and I told you this when we were watching it, I think it's super interesting in season 8 and season 9, the way they handle Mulder and Scully, because it's not in a day-to-day way. So, and they're also showing us a lot of scenes that happen, I think wouldn't have been shown.
Yeah, it's flashbacks.
It's like you're seeing the in-between scenes that are missing from season 1 through 6.
Exactly. Like, it's a flashback, but like not to stuff before the series. It's like to deleted scenes.
Yeah, so you're, and I kind of like it because it gives you like a little bit more of like how they interacted and how like maybe he did get her pregnant. Like, it's so hard to imagine that because you're not seeing a lot of that relationship. You have to like think about how it could happen. But anyway.
So can you clarify for me, like, what was the deal with David Duchovny in the show at this point?
So he did not, he decided not to come back for season 8 and season 9 after settling his contract dispute with them. He quit full-time participation of the show for 7th season. In order to explain their absence, though, his character was abducted by aliens, blah, blah, blah. So he never, like, left the show, but, like, David Duchovny left the show.
It's so interesting.
Well, they had a ton of rounds of, like, contractual, like, talk, and he agreed to return for 11 episodes in season 8.
Interesting.
So you're gonna see him a lot. What? Like,
that's half of the season.
He's not in the full episode, and like, he's not a main character.
It's interesting, though, because I have seen main cast members
shows
appear in less than amount of episodes.
Apart from this, we have Within Without, we have the ending, and we have the 11th episode, the Gift. You know, there's like a lot of episodes that are like ones that are arc episodes where he's appearing, but a lot of people, like Chris Carter's, like, quoted saying, like, Mulder's absence from the series didn't affect it, and there are characters who can be powerful as absent centers, and Mulder was, like, through the 8th and 9th season an absent center of the show, which is an interesting way to take somebody leaving the show.
It's just interesting to me because on so many levels. First, it reminds me of like almost scaling down full-time work to part-time work, right?
Yeah.
Like, I only come in half the time. But also, I don't know. I guess my assumption was that it was not necessarily leaving on amicable terms. So, like, to have him come back some
And I think that happened, like, That must have been part of the negotiation. I guess so. But I think that for him, it was like, I want to see this through, but I can't. Like, I'm just done. So, like, I will come. Like, I think there was a lot of contract stuff, not necessarily stuff where he didn't, you know, he felt like Mulder was done for him. But, like, he also was loved playing Mulder. So I think it was all logistics, which sucks.
It's just so interesting because I don't think I have. I'm racking my brain. I don't think I've ever seen that situation, though, before in a show where, like,
he's still in the show.
One of the lead characters.
It happens a lot, actually, on the CW, but really? we won't get into it.
Where they leave the show, but they, like, also are in a good amount of episodes, not even like a handful of episodes.
Elena Gilbert on The Vampire Diaries left the show before the final season.
Oh, Anita Dobrev, yeah.
Yeah, and so she's in the show, but she's not actually in the show. There's a lot of, like, scenes where her, like, unconscious body is just, like, shown. You know, like, it's
wild
because she's in, like, a weird magic coma. But, like, that's like an example of it for sure. Anyway, we also should talk about another actor who is in this episode that will be a recurring character, and that is the actor Adam Baldwin.
Any relation to the Baldwin brothers? I don't think so, because I'm pretty sure it's just...
I think just a similar name.
Because I think it's just the four.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, his name is the same.
Do you know the four?
Alec.
Mm-hmm.
Other.
Okay, you're one out of four.
I don't know.
It's Alec, I think it's Billy.
Billy.
Steven. And Daniel.
Okay, well, anyway, he's not a Baldwin, but he is a Baldwin. And he plays Noel Rohr, which makes me...
That's like the rural jerk.
Yes! That's why I wanted to bring it up. Because he doesn't come into play later
into
the episode.
What a terrible name.
This guy originally auditioned for the part of John Doggett and lost out to Robert Patrick, so they remembered him and they cast this guy in this episode, and he will appear in a bunch of other episodes too.
This is the guy that, like, Doggett goes to, right?
He's his buddy, his, like, former like FBI, like, I don't know, jock type.
Yeah, it was like his buddy who, like, tips him off.
Yeah, his buddy.
So, well, and that name sounds familiar, though, besides the last name. He is I think he's a Firefly guy.
I've
never Firefly'd, so I don't know.
Oh, it's very easy to Firefly because it's just one season.
Like, it's just like 8 episodes or something, right?
We've done a few things already that are just 8 episodes. It's very easy binge.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
back to the episode.
Well, what I do like, though, speaking of that, is that I think this episode... Well, maybe a bit confusing sometimes with the flashbacks, maybe almost purposely so. I think they do a really good job of, like, bringing us back.
Yes.
Like, having, you know, Doggett break the reverie, you know, having...
Well, yeah, so, like, Mulder will be at the door and, like, she'll answer the door and it'll be Doggett. You know, it's, like, that kind of thing, which I really do like. It's well shot. But we should get back into Zeus genetics.
Which is... My God.
Nightmare Town.
Starkly all white.
Yeah, well, so it's, you know what's so funny is that you had such a reaction to that, but, like, I've been in OBGYNs that look like that. It's like
this
thing. That's
just wild. It's like almost something
there's
I'd
the
like...
one that I used to go to in the city, the gynecologist, it was called Pure OBGYN.
Oh.
Yeah, it sounds terrible, but it was just like, it was whatever.
If you want your, you know.
But it looked like this. It was, like, all white, and they had these, like, big fur couches and, like velvet couches with, like, fur pillows on them.
You know what it,
like,
almost looks like? It looks like it's in heaven.
Yeah, that's exactly the vibe. That's exactly the vibe. I should show you pictures of this OBGYN's office.
That is wild to me.
But yeah, I was like, oh no, that seems right. And so anyway, Scully goes in there and she's like, hey, is anyone here? But she starts overhearing a pregnant woman, Mary Hendershot, who's telling her doctor that she doesn't want to be under his care.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to be seen. Something's wrong, like, all this stuff. And she kind of, like, sneaks in and...
Yeah, she basically ends up, like, running into, like...
A storeroom, yeah.
Which is full of jars
of fetuses.
Deformed alien fetuses in jars. Again, yeah. They're in jars.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of it is, like... Very, very creepy, but at the same time, like, no, not at the same time. It's very creepy, but Scully is in there freaking out, and then this doctor, Dr. Lev, comes in, and Scully's like, oh, no, I was just here visiting my friend, and, like, they don't mention it.
Yeah.
He's just, like, he doesn't say anything about you shouldn't be in here. Oh, also, like, these are just experiments.
Right,
like,
it's not like you walked into the bathroom, right? You're like, yeah.
Like, he should have been like, oh, like, you shouldn't be in here, and she should have been like, what is all of this?
Right.
But I guess she's trying to play it cool so that she can get out of there alive.
Yeah, because her next step now is, like you mentioned, she is going to take an ultrasound. She took an ultrasound from the clinic. She was able to swipe that.
Yeah, and she's going to compare it.
Yeah, and so basically she's going to call her doctor.
Dr. Parenti.
But... the doctor, if you look in the background,
is dissecting an alien baby.
Is in the exact same room that she was basically just
yeah.
in.
Yeah. And so she asks him to compare her ultrasound to the
ultra skin.
Ultrasound scan with the one that she got earlier, but we know that that's not going to go well.
Right. First, we get a little bit of a flashback.
Flashback.
This is basically where Scully gets told by Dr. Parenti
that her ova can be used.
Yes, and that she does have a sperm donor in mind.
Yeah, he basically says, oh, and I can, you know, find you a sperm donor. And she's like, no, I think I know somebody.
Yeah, and my kid's going to love basketball. And B movies.
And baseball.
Yeah, exactly. In select episodes.
Yes, exactly.
So, meanwhile, Doggett is just really, like a dog proper, is really just sniffing around Scully this entire time.
Well, right? She's acting super weird.
And that's the thing as well.
She's supposed to be his partner.
And I do agree with you that, there are certain things that have propriety to it, also based on the timeline of things, but, like you said,
the last time we saw them was episode 5. What episode is this?
13.
That's a lot of time that's gone by. Yeah. She should be a little bit more warm to him at this point. But I guess for her, it's super private. She doesn't know what happened. She doesn't know how she got pregnant.
But the thing is also, it's not that he is being overtly suspicious. He is very much being I want to help you.
He's being extremely nice.
Doggett's low-key, a really good guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's annoying because he's not Mulder in the sense of the show from an overarching perspective. But, as a character, he's fine. And he's also doing a good job.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this is when it gets revealed, right, that Duffy had sent some very threatening letters to Mulder. They're like, well, that's interesting. We actually never found any evidence that you and your wife were married. He's like, I don't need to hear this. I'm getting out of here. But as soon as those elevator doors close, he gets on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Duffy is an inside man. He's in on it.
He sends a call to the first doctor who found her in the storeroom, warning them that they're being investigated. And then we get the flashback about Scully asking Mulder to be her sperm donor, which was a little bit of a weird.
It's interesting because this scene off screen, she already had. And so this is him coming back with the answer.
Yes,
right?
Correct. So she asked him. And then he comes back with the answer and he says yes.
Yeah, though he does the typical Mulder thing, right? Being like, I wasn't sure. I didn't want it to come between us, but yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, and he's like, oh, no, I'm saying yes. And then they embrace and hug. And
it's a really nice Gillian Anderson
episode. It's very sweet. Yeah, it's a very sweet scene, too. I enjoy, and that's why I'm saying I enjoy these sort of deleted scenes that we're seeing because it is adding color to what now is a relationship that we're not going to see much of moving forward.
Yeah.
Sad tears.
In the present, though, a woman, this is Mary Hendershot, this is the
Mary
lady.
Same lady.
Knocks at Scully's door and says, basically, come with me if you want to live. Our babies are in trouble.
Scully knocks at her door.
No, I thought it was the other way around.
Either way, they're going to be besties now, pregnant besties. And Scully meets with Doggett and Skinner at a diner in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I don't think this is any of the other ones that they've been to.
It's just a diner in the middle of the night, and she basically is
It is the middle of the night, because Doggett has that line, right? Oh, I'm so glad you woke me up for this.
Yeah, because she basically says, I'm taking a leave of absence. Here is zero context. Bye.
Yeah, and Doggett's can I ask why? Nope.
Nope. And Skinner's you need to tell him. He's just you need to tell him.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't tell her about the pregnancy, but she does sort of say to him, I want to trust you. I'm here for you.
Yeah, she tells him, I wouldn't do anything. I'm not doing anything to put you in harm's way.
Correct.
And just leave it at that.
Yeah. And so she is going to take Mary to an Army research hospital.
With this crack team of OBGYNs.
Yeah, that she supposedly trusts, and she's going to have labor induced for Mary because she is at 40 weeks anyway. She should just have the baby.
Because she walks in though being she's going to give birth to something inhuman. So she's making big suppositions right here at the top.
And then Scully also is going to ask to have an ultrasound performed so that she can find out if it's her baby's messed up too.
Meanwhile, Roar, whatever his name is.
Noel Roar.
I'm going to just call him
Roar. Noel.
Call him Roar. Basically tells Doggett, right, that that's really weird. This guy Duffy's prints are actually from someone who died in 1970.
Well, yeah. So at first he goes to Noel and he's like, I need this information on this guy. I need it. And Noel's like, I can't do that right now. I'm busy.
I'm in the tub.
I'm busy, but he's an old military partner, and he finds that, he finally gets it from him that basically, he's like, we need to find out this guy's identity. And he's going to investigate it. But they find out that Duffy's a CIA agent.
Mm-hmm. And then he was using basically like dummy prints almost.
Yeah. And so he's shady
AF. And so this really sends Doggett like on the hunt in a way. He's like, oh shit, Scully's in trouble.
Well, because he realizes like Scully thinks one thing is happening and something else is happening.
Yeah, that's literally what he says when he approaches Skinner, right?
Yeah.
It's like she's being misled. And Skinner finally does reveal. He finally gives in.
He trusts him.
He at least reveals where she is.
Yeah, because I think for him, he's, since the beginning, been like, you should tell Doggett. Like, I trust Doggett. But at the hospital, Scully has this ultrasound done. Her scans appear normal. Yeah. Everything's chill.
And so in this case, she has amniotic fluid.
She has an amniocentesis, which is basically like, it's a little early to be doing that, but she's like in a situation where she does sort of really worry about what's happening to her baby. So they're going to do it. And in order to do that, you do have to be numbed. You do have to procedure. So that's why she has trouble later moving and getting up.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah, so she's laying on the table. She has the ultrasound done and they do the amniocentesis. They leave. And why are you laughing at me?
Because, not at you, but she looks down and she sees the VCR.
Why is this so funny?
It's just something out of Speed, right?
It is,
like that's the trick in Speed, is that they were playing the security tape.
So she realized that she's been tricked and that somebody has been, while she was getting her ultrasound done, they were playing somebody else's ultrasound. So it looked like her baby, but like it wasn't her baby. So they've now left her there immobile. She's like really worried. So she goes and finds Mary. Mary has already been induced for labor. So she's having this baby as if they're sneaking out.
But they're still able to get her out. Somehow, like, I guess these OBGYNs like are not well, I don't know, don't watch things properly. Because like,
it was in the middle of the night, though. So it was probably night staff. It's an Army research hospital. This is not a hospital where there's labor and delivery.
Yeah, but it still is Army. So like, you'd imagine there's at least a good amount of security guarding this
place. Well, and there is. I mean, as soon as they're found missing, the security guards locate them. But by that time, Doggett has
Ro-Ro-Ro pick him up.
Has Noel. And basically, like, they're found by them and a bunch of Marines, and they're sent to rescue them.
And they're like, we can come with us. We got you covered. Go.
The issue happens, though, when Mary starts having labor and going into labor, and Scully's like, we need to pull over. Like, she'll die if we don't deliver.
And they're like,
baby.
Oh, okay. And then as they take her in, as they like get in,
they're not letting Scully near her.
Yeah, as they get down to business, Scully tries to get a better look, but she gets stuck with a trank.
Yeah.
And all she can see is another little gray alien bleeding baby come out.
Or so she thinks, but it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Because later in the episode, we basically, like, Scully's drugged, and then she wakes up, and Doggett is sitting there, and he basically says, Mary's baby was delivered and is normal.
And she's like, no, the baby was switched.
Yeah, exactly. And then she also says, like, you know, something's not right because she talks about her video, and he's like, no, like they said that they taped over an old video and that was your video, you know, like some bullshit about that. So,
yeah, well, but we should also point out the big thing here is he reveals that he knows she's pregnant.
Well, yeah, because she was put into the hospital and, you know, I think that
there's gotta be at least some sort of like medical disclosure.
Yeah.
Scully now sort of comes clean here. She actually, and I don't think we had heard about this before, and I can't remember in the season's 8 openers, that she felt like she had been impregnated to sort of like take her off of the X-Files so that she wouldn't look for Mulder, which I find super interesting.
I think that that's like a new theory for her. I think that she, the issue that she has is that throughout this episode, we've been given the hope that she was gotten pregnant through in vitro fertilization.
Right.
So up until now, we've kind of thought like, oh, this is just a weird thing that happened. But now it's like, okay, no, she was attempting to get pregnant. And then at the end of this episode, we find out that it didn't work. And Mulder tells her never to give up on a miracle.
You like a cute head touching moment.
Yeah, it is very cute. And I think also it leaves us even more confused as to whether or not Scully is pregnant by a miracle or pregnant by an alien or both or,
alien,
you know, like
Jesus. But at least, you know, Doggett continues to be a good guy in this episode.
No, a miracle in that, like, she got pregnant by having sex with David Duchovny.
That's a miracle. But Doggett basically promises her, right? Like, much like Skinner did at the end of season 7, no matter what, listen, I'm here to help find Mulder. I'm still going to do it, no matter what that might mean. So at least she has another dog in her corner who at least knows a bit more about what she's been going through.
Yeah. And I do think that this was well written for Scully, because I do think... It's nice because it does reveal that there is a possibility that Mulder is the father of Scully's child.
Mm-hmm.
It just, up until this point, it was kind of like, we're not sure. And now it's a very large possibility. So I think it's a good episode.
All right. Who are you spooking over these two episodes? I mean, listen, the first one's a real spooky one.
I think it's Billy in the first one.
Oh, interesting. For me, it's Cal Jeps, whatever his name is.
Oh, see, he's like too far past
Cal
spooky.
Jeppy.
He's not spooky to me. He's a terrible human being.
Sometimes that's the spookiest one people
Sometimes,
are.
But in this one, I can't even put it on the
screen. Or maybe honorable mention to Sharon Pearl for her convulsions.
Perhaps.
The second one...
Probably the doctor, Liv.
I think I gotta go with Duffy.
Duffy, yeah, he's
gotta,
pretty
listen,
good.
I gotta give my shout-outs to
Alien Babies 1, 2, and 3.
To the Duffster. So, we're gonna keep on this train. You know, these were a couple of, like... You know, I would say that... I guess in Invocation sort of like a Monster of the Week episode, even though it wasn't really. That's really the only one that we're doing this season.
Yeah, because in my opinion, it's most important for us to talk about the arc overall, because this is like, there's only so many episodes we want to cover in season 8.
Like, listen, I understand people, you know.
There might be some out there that you like there.
It's seasons 8 and 9 of the X-Files. Mm-hmm. I am okay, personally, if we're a bit slimmer on the coverage, not necessarily spending a month and a half of it. So that being said, all the episodes that we're doing for the rest of the season are going to be arc episodes, and it starts with the two episodes that follow the one we just spoke about. We are doing episodes 14 and 15, This Is Not Happening and Dead Alive.
We should mention that we are skipping an arc episode called The Gift, which is an episode where Doggett comes across a former case about a soul-eating demon that Mulder kept secret from Scully.
Oh, Jesus.
And he basically, the entire episode, is like convinced that this is going to help him find Mulder and understand his abduction, and it doesn't. So
okay, so basically TLDR, like, they learn nothing.
Yeah. We are skipping also a episode titled Medusa, which is basically about a the tunnels of the Boston subway system, which is fun.
Okay, interesting. Infrastructure.
There's a lot of monster in the sewer type vibes there.
Okay.
But anyway, we're going to talk about This Is Not Happening with the introduction of Monica Reyes.
You talked about her.
Yes, and Dead Alive, which is...
And so she is sort of like another pseudo-lead who's added in these last two seasons?
Yes.
Interesting.
In fact, it's just her and Doggett in season 9.
Oh,
Scully's teaching at
Quantico.
At Quantico, so...
Interesting that they're going to introduce her in literally the middle of season 8.
Well, she becomes a main character, though. She's, like, very much involved in Scully's pregnancy, and, like, she becomes a friend, and, like, there's some suspicions, and there's not. You know, it's all very fun.
Okay, so excited to meet Monica Reyes. We're just meeting all these new faces here with the X-Files season 8. Of course, if you have any thoughts about the X-Files, write in xfiles@postshowrecaps.com, bloomfiles@postshowrecaps.com. You can tweet us at Ange Pelagi, at a Mike Bloom type, or at Post Show Recaps. There was so much other stuff going on Post Show Recaps, but perhaps most pertinently, to those of you that want to listen to a little more of the Blooms...
And who doesn't?
Gabbing about TV, I am super excited to announce that said gabbing has transitioned from sci-fi to fantasy. Angela and I are going to be covering...
Sweet, sweet fantasy, baby.
Yes, from that Old Navy commercial from 3 years ago that still won't leave your head.
Won't leave my head ever in my life.
So we are covering season 2 of Netflix's The Witcher, which is coming out December 17th. This week we came out with a bit of a kickoff show, which is spoiler-free.
Little taste.
Yeah.
For
people who haven't even watched the show before, it really is just like a generic spoiler-free overview of what the show is, the world.
Helps with some context world building.
Yeah, but we recommend you check out the show. Season 1 is only 8 episodes. It's on Netflix.
You can do it.
Next week, we're going to be doing a deep dive into season 1 and then also preview what season 2 will be. And then once season 2 starts on December 17th, we're going to be bringing you weekly episodic recaps with sections for both those that are watching one episode at a time and those that have already seen the entire season and are looking back upon it. So I'm really excited about this. Angela is incredibly passionate about The Witcher, and she got me into it. So I'm
currently incredibly passionate about The Witcher.
Yeah, well, but
I go through phases.
But I'm excited to get into this. This should be another really fun show to cover alongside like a big slate of fantasy stuff going on in Potion Recap. So if that's something that interests you, plenty of supernatural stuff going on with the monsters in The Witcher and magic and the like, be sure to check out our coverage and our kickoff show. So that being said, we're going to be back next week covering episodes 14 and 15 of Season 8 of The X-Files. Special thanks to Corey B. for his theme song. We'll check back next week. Until then, case closed.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.